I'm Alan Rees, the dental business coach, and I'm on the road. I've come back to the land of my fathers to visit Monmouth, situated slightly to the west of the border between Wales and England, where the River Wye runs alongside the busy A40 trunk road. Monmouth was the birthplace of Henry V and the home of Charles Rolls of Rolls-Royce fame. Just outside the town is Rockfield Studios, where Queen recorded Bohemian Rhapsody. The town's economy used to be based on agriculture and the wool trade, but these days, service industries and tourism lead the way. I've come to meet Chris Baker of Corona Dental Marketing to record a series of interviews about PR and marketing for future podcasts. So, as Shakespeare's Henry said, all things are ready, if our mind be so. Let's go and meet Chris. I'm talking to Chris Baker from Corona Design and Communication. And the first of our topics that we're going to cover is about email marketing tips. Now, one of the great things, of course, about a dental practice as a business is they have access. Not only do they have access to patients who return to see them every 6 months, or perhaps every 3 months, so that way they have an opportunity to communicate, but they also have a big database. We're going to talk first about email marketing. So, Chris, why use email marketing?
Yeah, good morning, Alan. Thanks very much, and delighted to be talking to you. It's an interesting one, this, because there's something in waiting in the wings that's going to potentially make email marketing quite different. You may or may not be aware of something called GDPR.
Yes.
In terms of data protection, which we're still looking at the moment as to the exact way it's going to affect dental practices. Suffice to say, it won't affect them in the normal recall fashion, things like that, but there may be implications with marketing. So it's a case in terms of watching this space on that. But the more general point is, email marketing is a fantastic way of speaking to your existing base. These people have generally made an investment of time and money, and they come and see you, as you say, every 3-6 months a year, or there are those who perhaps see you less often. It's low cost. You know, the days of having to mail out, and I remember them, the days of hard copy newsletters, which were great and still can be great in their own way, are probably over to a great extent because the price of postage. Email allows you to keep in touch with people at a low cost, inform them, educate them, entertain them in the Reithian sense, and it is important that you bear the words in those three words in that order. It isn't a case of just selling at patients. It should be about, you may have an offer and that's great, but you should be informing them about the fact that, did they know that, you know, dental implants can be a fantastic way of replacing an uncomfortable denture, or so on and so forth. That's what they do really well.
How often would you do something like this?
Yeah, good question. I would suggest you don't want to be seen as someone who's spamming your patients, and that's really where GDPR came from. I would recommend, it depends slightly on each individual practice, but generally people we work with normally do about 6 a year, so one every 2 months. Mm-hmm. And patients would view that as acceptable and not something to get worried about. If you're going to do it more often than that as well, you have to bear in mind content, who's going to write them, how you're going to put them together, and who's going to say what. So we would say probably about 6 times a year, and it is about having a nice mixture of informing and educating content, as well as the more entertaining, and as well as perhaps the call to action that people may be aware of is, okay, what's this going to make my patients do? And you have some kind of offer, promotion, something that's going to make them pick up the phone, reply on the email, so on and so forth, that you can then take a step back a month later and look at your return on investment and say, well, we did that email and it generated X.
Okay, so what I hear is that you would put something that's got a little bit of news about the practice, perhaps some education about what treatments are available, because not everybody knows or understands what's available. Perhaps link that to something you're trying to promote, and perhaps dentistry in the news as well.
Yes, very much so. And Team News is fantastically, generally, if we look at the reports, Team News is normally the section that's best read, because people are interested in people. People like knowing that the receptionist has just had a baby and so on and so forth. The point you kind of raised in your question there is an interesting one, though. I think dentists think, because they may have mentioned that, you know, we do implants here or we do whitening here, or They think that's it. And you have to tell people repeatedly about the things you do, how you do them, how they go about. So that's what email allows you to do, is you can keep telling people, oh, did you know we do this? Or were you aware that that can be done? People forget. And the minute people enter a dental surgery, it's almost like their brains turn off. So dentists speak to them and say, oh, what about this, that and the other? And they nod their heads and then they leave and they've forgotten everything they heard. So this is where email allows you to back that up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. That most people don't want to think about their dentist because they go, they're healthy, they're done, I'll go away until I'm summoned again. What sort of planning goes into that? I know a lot of dentists, my experience as well of producing the paper newsletters was, oh, I've got a deadline, what am I going to put in it? Mm-hmm. And I accept that I should have used a bit more planning.
Yes, I mean, if we're working with a practice, we would generally work on this kind of project on a 12-month basis, so we can take a look over the year and see what are we going to be talking about and when. Interesting enough, the 6 a year tends to fall nicely as well and into the year makeup and avoid, you know, going out at the wrong time of year and avoiding dead spots in the year, if you like. So that's another reason that 6 a year works. So yes, we would put a good deal of planning into it. Obviously, there may be things that come up in the news that you won't be aware of in advance, but certainly things in terms of education, and if you're going to be promoting things, you should know about that some months in advance. We would also work with the practice in question. We use a bit of software called MailChimp. There are others. And this is a fantastic bit of software. Not only does it make it look pretty and all of that, which is great, what it particularly does that's of interest is it tells you who opened them, what they clicked upon, and so on. So that's what you want from a marketing perspective. That's the information you're really interested in, so you can see how effective it was. So yes, we will work with the practice, and we would make suggestions. We would write the content and say, well, have you thought about this? But we would be in regular contact and say, okay, well, what would you like to promote at the moment? What would you like to do more of? What have your patients asked about? We ask the patients as well, and quite often we'll get questions from patients in the practice saying, tell me more about. Mm-hmm. So we're very much led by what people want to see.
And I know it's a service that you provide, but this is something dentists can do themselves.
Of course they can, yeah. And I know of dentists that do, that's right. Mm-hmm. And as long as you've got the people in place who can do that, that's fine. It just shouldn't be the dentist, really, because the dentist should be spending their time doing dentistry. But yes, that's very true, yeah.
Yeah. And what sort of length of pieces and so on would you put into one of these?
We would normally recommend, you've probably got 4 or 5 maximum. You don't want to send them War and Peace. You want something that's going to be short and sweet. If you've got a lot of content, what we always recommend to people, so if, for instance, someone wants to talk in great depth about dental implants, what we'd recommend is you have a short piece in the email newsletter and then a link to a web page or somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to do it. So you've got a nice short bit of text, lots of pictures, so people can be visually engaged. And then if you've got something longer to say, take them somewhere else.
Okay. Now, when you send this out, it arrives in somebody's inbox. How do you engage them? You know, how do you stop them saying, oh, it's something else from the dentist?
Right. Yep. Fair question. Well, the first line, as with everything, is frankly with an email, is the subject line. Well, arguably, it's even before that. Make sure you've got their correct data, so you're sending it to the right place. But it's the subject line. So you have to have a subject line that's going to make people think, oh, I want to have a look at that. Again, with things like MailChimp, you can actually do campaigns where you run 3 different subject lines to a proportion of the database, see which one had the best open rate, and then send the balance to that that segment. So yes, what I find useful actually is, from a practice point of view, is actually for them to ask the team, ask friends, would you open this? You know, would, if you saw this subject line, is that something you'd open? Is that something that would interest you? And we would expect, again, in terms of open rates, we would want an open rate of round about 40%, because it's existing data, if you like, it's existing patients. They know who you are. The industry standard, I believe, is 20, but I'd be very disappointed if you had an open rate of 20%. But so, yes, I ask your friends, ask your families, ask your team, say, would you open this? Play around with the subject line almost as much as anything else, because that's what, if you don't get that right, it doesn't matter how good the content is, they won't read it. So spend some time on it.
One of the things that I do, but not every time, is to actually look at my open rate. So you presumably get reports back from MailChimp. As you know, I write a newsletter but I tend not to look long and hard about the reports I get. So
yeah, the reports on Mail. I can speak of Mailchimp particularly because that's the one we use. As I said, there are dot mailers, another one that's out there as well. Yes, the reports are useful because yes, the open rate is massively important, because if you're expecting a rate of 40% and have done for the last year and suddenly it drops to 18%, something's happened. What is that? And you need to look at that. But over and above the open rate, it will then tell you for it does if you have links in the email, which we always recommend you do. You have a click map. Not only do you know the amount of clicks, but you know where they clicked upon. And interesting things. So, for instance, different types of people will click upon different types of link. So if you are, for instance, holding some kind of evening where you wanted people to book, you wanted people to come along. Some people will click on a link in the text. Other people are more likely to click on a button that says book now. And you should actually have both. And you'll interestingly see some people will click on the link, some people will click on the button. So it's all that kind of information that allows you to keep making them better and keep improving the technique.
And how do you start? You've got presumably a list of names on your dental software. How do you take that and build it up?
No, well, fine, but I'd even draw it back before that, because yes, you should have. I'm sure you've got a list of patients on your dental software, but many practices have not always been fantastic at collecting email addresses. No, so that's the first place to start. If you're not, you should be collecting them at every available opportunity. And often the easiest way is to redo a medical history form and have the email field in there. And that's often the easiest way to do it. Once you've got to that point. Yes, well, once you've kind of got the data, in terms of exporting it, I'm not the expert on how to get it out, say, R4 or SOE, yeah. But it takes about half a minute.
Okay.
And then it comes out as an Excel file. It's as simple as that.
And so, then you can put that into MailChimp.
Exactly, or whatever you choose.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. And presumably you need permission from the patient.
You do. You do. And as I alluded to at the start, with GDPR coming in, this will be even more important. But even currently, yes, you do. With any marketing material with practice we work with, I'm always very hot on that, is you should have the correct forms, the correct terminology, so that people know that they are likely to receive this. That leads into another interesting point, is that one of the best benefits of using something like MailChimp or DotMailer is that you can it allows people to unsubscribe. Now, interesting, some people think, well, you don't want people to unsubscribe. No, you don't. But you'd rather have people unsubscribe than be bothered. And that's one of the good things about using third-party email software, is that patients who don't want to get this anymore can just click unsubscribe. And the software will not allow them to receive an email again from that practice, which, to the point, it can get annoying, because sometimes people will come back later and say, actually, I'd like stuff again. Yeah. And that creates its own problem. But generally, so that's an important part of it, actually, is allowing people to leave if they don't want to receive it.
So, and I presume with these things, you're better off doing a little and regularly rather than a massive email and then a big gap.
Yes, indeed, as was always the case with the hard copy newsletters too. I think people in their mind's eye had a feeling about what they expected to put in this kind of content, put in this kind of the medium. And that led to it being put off and put off. Or we'll just wait for this. We'll just wait for this. And what happens then is it never happens. Or as you say, it happens and there's a huge tract of material that no one will ever make their way through.
Mm-hmm. And when do you do it? Is there a good day, a bad day?
Good question. Yes, Mondays are best avoided. They're not a great day because people are busy. They've got all the other emails coming over the weekend if they're at work, so on. So I'd avoid Mondays. You can play around with that. You can try different times of the day. I've often found Tuesdays to be quite a good day. And depending on your patient base, it may then depend whether you want to send them in work time or evening time. But play around with it. But do probably avoid Sundays as well. People just don't expect to receive things on a Sunday, and it still doesn't really work for some reason.
No, so, I don't open emails on Sunday.
No, exactly. There you go. Okay. Actually, I probably don't either. So, yeah, there you go.
And then you get into Monday and there's a backlog.
Exactly.
And you are more tempted to just hit delete rather than look at. Yeah. I get that. So bottom line, I suppose, is this is something that's easy, reasonably cost.
Yep.
And it's about giving information which encourages people to ask questions.
Yes.
And show interest rather than bang, 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 sell, sell, sell.
Yes, indeed, it is informative. Just back to the last point, interesting, if you are doing a promotion, for instance, let's say you had a whitening offer, yeah. because that happens from time to time, is things that are fun, or you think people are going to go, oh, I want to do something about that. Actually, Friday afternoons is quite good. Yeah, by 2 o'clock, people are, if they're in an office, they're probably winding down, thinking about the weekend. That's a good time to do things where you're particularly leading on a promotion. But yes, more generally, yes, you want people to start. All of this is a journey. You know, people don't suddenly wake up one morning and say, I'm going to have Invisalign, for instance. That's not how the world works. They first become aware of they've got an issue with their smile. They move along a process. Email marketing fits into that by creating a desire, making them aware, making them think, oh, I will ask about that next time I'm in, and so on. That's what it's fantastic.
Great. We'll hold it there. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
I was talking to Chris Baker from Corona Design and Communication about email marketing. This was the first in a series of conversations about marketing and PR in dentistry. To find out more about Chris and his services, go to coronadental.co.uk. I'm Alan Rees, the Dental Business Coach. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.